Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We've had a little bit of time off to refresh, recuperate, rejuvenate, and we're back. JT and Lakey, the old crew here with you on the SC Report. Lakey, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah, we've had our own bye period, freshened up, ready for the back end of the season. But I'm a little bit worried about yourself. How are you? How is your mental health?
I'm good, mate. I chucked the Cowboys shorts on this evening. I ran for 7Ks. I haven't done that for a long, long time. I'm feeling good. I'm ready for a call-up. Actually, if that's what you're referring to.
Running out frustrations, are we? Yeah. Look, ran down to the pub to get you some great Northerns.
Mate, it's been in a sign of how great a man you are. You did say off air, am I allowed to bring up the 66-18 result over the weekend? You are. Everyone is entitled to throw some shade. And when you know, like, it's that kind of thing, when everyone knows you're such an avid fan of a particular team, people just come out of the woodwork, left, right, and center. I've got family messaging me that I haven't spoken to in ages. I've got people at work who wouldn't watch a game in their life saying, I think your team did really shit over the weekend. So thank you to all and sundry who welfare checked or reverse welfare checked and threw out a few messages of not support. But anyway, it's all water off a duck's back. We've been flogged by wooden spoons before. We've flogged by them again, but we haven't. Yeah, it was a tough watch. Let's put it that way. I don't think there's all the great Northerns in the world could have undone the memory of that one. But it's a new week. It's a new day. Speaking of Supercoach, how are you going?
I'm traveling okay-ish. I'm 11K, so nothing fantastic, but I'm still just floating around without the ship sinking so far.
You're doing way better than I am because the ship has well and truly sunk. It's going south in a fairly big way. I think I'm still above the 30K. Death line, so you know, still a chance of that.
You're doing good.
No, there you go. So hanging on, but you're normally, this is the kind of year or the period of the year where you can target and try and claw your way back. But the buyers this year are a little bit different. So we'll go into a little bit of the detail. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are across that already, being the gurus that they are. But some of the intricacies of 13, 16, and 19, there's a bit of a change in the air. So this year, you can't really stack your side with just random pods like I love doing that score 30 in these weeks and then blow your trade. So it's a new year.
Yeah, it's a real tricky one because you've not only got the real big buy rounds this week, but you've got then a couple of smaller ones following up. You know, you can really kill your season by stacking your teams with some guys that end up missing next week and costing you anyway.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I had a look, and I know that round 14 in the back of my mind has been a tough one. Everyone's saying that, but Para, Manly, and the Knights all missing next week. So if you're like me and you've got a few Para players, you've got your Garricks and you've got a Turbo and you got Marju and those sort of guys, like you could really sort of ruin next week, which could be really crucial. So that's a full 17 quota week. You're playing a full team. So if you're stacking your side with round 13 guys, it might be worth having a bit of a look ahead to what you're going to face next week. Because we know these guys, you said Payne Haas off air, he's a chance of playing really big minutes this week. Hines, fortunately off the bench, but Cleary, those sort of guys, could be a really tough week.
It could. We could have quite a few guys either not backing up, depending on when their teams play on the weekend, and we'll look into that a little bit more. But, guys will either not play at all or have a bit of a rest game and you know, be low scorers anyway. So picking and choosing who your best players are to keep or to trade out is really going to make or break your season across these next couple of weeks.
It certainly will. And you just have a look at some of the trade-ins that people are making. And, you know, you get these cheapies that fly in. KO Weeks is at fullback for Manly. You get these random one-week sort of things. And people start having a sneaky look and think, oh, is he worth it to, you know, bring in? some of these guys will play one game and never play another one again. Like, it's just, it's one of those things. If you're jumping at Shadows in the first bye week, might be best to cool your jets, because I think, like everyone, I'm sure you've blown plenty a trade. I think I'm sitting on like 22, 23 to go. How many have you got?
Yeah, I wouldn't be far off that either. I think I got 24, if I memory serves. But yeah, I've blown a couple in the last couple of weeks trying to get some numbers for round 13, and it's not done me any good, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's, I mean, one of three bites, so could be worth staying patient. I just had a look. I've made two trades, and I've got 19 left. This is going to be a very fun ride to the end of the year, but we'll get into a bit of that later, the ins and outs. We'll talk about Team List Tuesday news, and then, yeah, captains and vices. So a fairly straightforward pod in a fairly challenging week. So without further ado, let's get into the Team List news. Skimmed your article, given I'm just such a professional athlete, had a big run, and I didn't get a chance to sit down and really absorb it. So I'm going to be relying on you for the factual ins and outs. We got five games this week. We start with the Dolphins and the Dragons. What's the major news coming out of that one?
Well, the major news, I suppose, is for any people that jumped on Valence Tavare early, hoping that he would get a couple more games, and it wasn't to be. He's been called up for his second game of the year, but it's only in the number 17 jersey. So it's good news if you want a couple extra points. It sucks if he only gets a couple of minutes and doesn't score well, because it's going to kill his scores and his cash generation from here. But he's back in the team. The other one I thought was interesting is they've given Kota Nikarima the fullback jersey, and a lot of people were thinking it would go to Asako with Rob Jennings coming back onto the wing. And I know a lot of people jumped on Jennings early. And again, we told you not to, because Tessie New was just around the corner. But you're hoping for that round 13, call back to get you a few extra points, and it's just not to be. And so otherwise, the team's pretty stock standard. You've got Katoa survived the cut after getting pulled early last week. A couple of their big boys are away for Origin, so Ray Stone gets a start in the 13, and otherwise not much to talk about in there.
I did not even know Katoa got pulled last week, Lil. But I was at that game. Just to hark back to that horrible Saturday night. Watched the I didn't see a single minute of that Tigers game. Thankfully, I heard all about it, obviously. But I get to the ground and just the shit-eating grins on a mate's faces to watch that Dolphins game. I don't even remember it. I think I just sat there basically dead inside watching the grass.
Worst too, because one of your best mates is a Tigers fan. So absolutely feeding you.
Mate, he sat down next to me, massaged the knee, and didn't say a word. He knows better. I've been there, mate. So yeah, good on him. Good on them and all the Tigers fans. Amazing how many like chatty Broncos fans there were getting in around it. But anyway, so yeah, anything that happened in that Dolphins Storm game, I've pushed out of the memory. That was a very in mourning kind of period. But there you go, Katoa got benched. How are the old Dragons going?
The Dragons, again, they only lost Ben Hunt to Origin. So there's not much of a change there. Blake Laurie's also fractured his hand, so he's going to be out a little while. Jack Bird is back. He's playing on the edge. Jack DeBellin has been given the 13 jersey with a couple of other minor shifts throughout the pack. So, again, nothing major there to worry about, really.
I saw Jack Bird missed last week. He's back in JDB at lock. What are you reading in terms of minutes long term? I've actually bought JDB in last week, reasonably happy with a 60-odd. What do you see longer term for him?
I think he's going to be pretty much the same anywhere he plays. Whether he plays prop or whether he plays lock, he's going to play the same sort of minutes, the same sort of style game. I guess the big thing for him this week is he's been given the captaincy with Ben Hunt out. So he's, I don't know, got a little bit more to play for, I suppose. Maybe he's out there a little bit longer, but just looking at his stats, from when he's been given the starting jersey in round eight, he's played pretty much, you know, low 70s to full game, every game anyway. So he'll be out there on the park as much as possible.
I don't know whether it's just a memory of that one game where the Storm and Dragons put on about 90 points between the two of them, but Dragons on a Thursday night in a bye week, for some reason, it just seems to rain points. I don't know if I'm just looking at one game in particular, but I just had this back of the mind. Dragons in bye week tend to leak points. and Scorham as well. So could this be one of those things? It's out at Redcliffe where it's going to be pretty, well, dewy and cold. But what are you seeing scoreline from this one?
Oh, it could be anything. Both these teams have got such good attacking players and they're missing a couple of their best to Origin, but I don't think either of them are really renowned defensive squads. So it could be an absolute scoregasm out there.
Love that. What do you reckon about Para and the Cows? Fresh off a 66 point. Yeah. A loss you can only get better, right?
Well, you want to hope so. As I've been telling everybody the last couple of months, the good thing about hitting rock bottom is there is only one way to go.
You are what on is it, the dead up. Cat? The dead cat bounce? Isn't that that's a thing, right?
I've got no idea what they talk about up in far North Queensland, mate, so that's on you.
Like throwing cats around, I guess.
Yeah. For the Eels, man, their forward stocks have taken a massive hit of late. They've already got Andrew Davey out with a concussion for this week. Junior Polo's in Blues camp. You know, you got RCG and Shaw Lane out injured long term. Then Madison came off last week with a, I want to say calf.
Yeah, calf injury. Still no word, actually, weirdly.
No, physios reported that it's a likely 3 to 6 week injury, but nothing from the club officially. So not good news for anybody that's jumped on him. I was looking at him very closely the other week and sort of dodged that bullet, I suppose. But it means good things for Jermaine Hopgood. Joe Ofengawi got released from the Tigers today and has been thrown straight into the prop rotation. I'm assuming that's because he doesn't know any of the setups and plays or anything. So he's just going, see ball, get ball, run forward, mate.
Touch the ball under the arm. Yep.
That's it. Until you can figure anything else out, just run as hard as you can and tackle everything that moves. But, yeah, big inclusion for the Eels. A lot of people are looking at him, which is a bit weird because, again, all those people we've just mentioned, it could be 3 weeks, it could be 1 week for Davey with the concussion. Paulo will be back next week. I just don't know what his minutes or role is going to be in this side.
No, I mean, when I had him last year at the Tigers, I mean, he was probably the one big minute forward that they had in that pack. You got like Stefano and Tamo and all those sort of guys. But at Para, as you said, they've got so many big minute players that are, you know, on, you know, break at the moment through whatever Origin injury, but they are going to come back. So could be that little fresh club sort of initial good couple of games, but longer term, I don't see Joe O. He started the year at 640-odd K. So he was pretty hugely priced. He's shed a ton of value. And I think people are just looking at that on, you know, that sort of basis. He's lost that much cash. He should be going back up now playing for a club that hopefully values him a bit better than old Sheens, he seemed to. But, yeah, for me, I'd be staying away until you know exactly where he fits in that rotation.
He's starting and he's in a side that's playing all the three major buy rounds. So people are getting a bit excited about that. I just think buyer beware in that case. Listen, we'll jump onto the Cowboys, but I want to get your input on this because they've got a couple of debutants coming out that I know absolutely zero about. Zach Labert and Robert Derby playing in the back line. Tell me about these guys.
Don't know a hell of a lot about Zach Labert. I think he plays up for the Blackhawks up there, but Rob Derby actually played in a trial against the Finns and scored, it looked like one of the slowest runaway tries that you'll ever see, but another one, huge wraps on him, a bit more muscle than a guy like, say, Petr Hiku, who's hopefully on the way out in the not-too-distant future. Yeah, so I think a lot of fans are hoping that this is the game Derby can have a pretty big impact because I think of the two, he's likely to stick around given his profile in those trials and that, but yeah, I mean, for a side that got belted last week, the one upside, I guess, is that these young guys now get a go, get a bit of a fresh. They don't have that lingering, horrible in the back of the mind feeling about last week, and they can come in enthusiastic and everything. But yeah, Labert, I thought, was more of a playmaker. His brother, Kyle, or might be a cousin or something like that, played a bit of halfback for us. So I'm not sure whether he's a centre by trade typically. But yeah, in all honesty, I don't. Yeah, it's nice to see a bit of youthful.
I didn't look into it in depth, but I saw a bit of Zach Labert highlights or whatever, and I believe he was a half playing in the junior grade. So just looking like they're getting these guys a bit of a run in the top grade because it can't go any worse than last week. Despite that loss and that absolute shellacking, you guys have lost four to the Queensland camp this week. Ben Hampton's come in to replace Tom Dearden, and big Jakey Granville gets the number 13. So
we'll look out.
Everything looking like an improve at the moment. The other name that really caught my eye is Jason Tamalolo is in the 22 in the reserves. I'm under the assumption, I'm just going to throw this out there, he'll come in on game day surely.
I don't know. I mean, whether it's because we don't have that many players to name or something like that, that they've just thrown him in as a Hail Mary, but it seemed to me that he was, they've always talked about round 14 has been when he's going to come back, if not beyond that, because we have the 15 bye. So I'd be very surprised to see him in there. But I thought as well, the throat injury to Griffin Nee might have kept him out a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got enough cavalry there that I don't think, you know, a guy like Jakey Granville at starting lock, why even bother with some Taumalolo guy? I think you've got to
wasting your money.
Exactly right. But no, I'm not sure what the read is there. I guess we'll know a bit more come first cuts. But for me, I think it's probably just sticking him in there in a very, very unlikely kind of starter. But worse things. Be nice to get him eased back in and get a full strength forward pack for the first time all year.
Yep, absolutely. And before we move off this, the pack they've got Ruben Cotter coming back in. You've got Lolo just around the corner. Jeremiah Nanai is the forgotten man. He's out suspended at the moment, but he's due back next week. Plenty of people jumping on Helam Lukey of the last couple of weeks. What's the lineup going to look like going forward?
Yeah, I don't see Lukey as an 80-minute player. I think he's played a lot of big minutes lately because, as you've said, we've lost Nanai and a couple of others. So the fact that we're getting cavalry back now, Luciano started last week, I'd be staying very clear. I think on his day, as we've seen, where he tore up the Dragons, really good player, but I don't think he's an 80-minute lock and load kind of second row, which you kind of need for a 530K-er. Doesn't have the huge base stat game. He scored 23 in a pretty diabolical effort last week. So, yeah, it's not going to keep his price skyrocketing, but I'd be staying away from Lukey just given the cavalry.
Yep, that's a fair call. We'll talk about the Warriors Broncos on Saturday afternoon. Ronald Volkman has been named in the 18 jersey, but I believe he fractured his hand or something last game, so I'm surprised to see him there. Either way, he's been replaced by young Luke Metcalf, who had an injury preseason and is now just making his club debut. He's only 250K, I believe, so a decent downgrade option in the coming weeks, but you can probably afford to wait and watch for a couple of weeks, maybe get him after round 16 when they have their next bye.
I guess it's an awkward one because he's 5'8 only. And as you said, you've got Volkman on the bench there who they have thrust in there before him. So it'd be one of those risky ones and purely if you just want to buy weak player and 5'8's the only way you can go. But otherwise,
that's it. Everybody's lost faith in Isaiah Katoa. Maybe there's an option there. Otherwise, they're pretty standard. Jackson Ford has come back from his concussion layoff. He's had 2 weeks off because of the bye last week, so he's fresh and ready to go. And they're pretty much full strength because they don't lose anybody to the origin period. So they're good to go, which is really bad news for the Broncos, who have lost Haas, Reece Walsh, Paddy Carrigan, Selwyn Cobbo, and Tom Flegler for this weekend. Plus, they're traveling across to New Zealand. It's a really going to be a balls to the wall effort if they can get this one over the line.
That's why I think the Warriors are a really big side to target over the next few months. They get a pretty unchanged lineup throughout that time. A fair few home games. They love playing at Mount Smart. They get a couple of those games over that time. So they're going to be coming up against sides that are pretty, as the Broncos are here, battered by Origin. So yeah, it'd be big on them. A guy like CNK, not regretting trading him out, but would love to have him over this sort of period. I think he could be pretty lethal. But, yeah, I think it's hard to go wrong with some of these Warriors players.
I agree. CNK was a guy I was very much looking at in the fullback position to get an extra number in there because he's shown on his day he can go absolutely bananas. He's had a couple of 90-point games this year already when, you know, the Warriors, they weren't even, like, they were winning games, they were playing well, but they weren't blowing teams off the park. But he was still putting in the effort and getting the scores. So, you're right, he could go nuts in the next couple of weeks playing against some really understrength sides or reserve grade sides, really. You look at the makeup of this team, the guys that have come in, Dean Mariner, Tristan Saylor, Keenan Palacia, Xavier Willison, and Brendan Piakura. I know they're all decent players, but there's a reason they're not in the starting 17 each week, and now they're making up this squad. It's going to be tough going. But the good news is Adam Reynolds is back after headbutting the Suncorp turf a couple of weeks ago. He's got given the all clear, and he'll come back in and add some leadership to this very young squad.
Yeah, it's a weird season. I hate to give him credit, but it's one of those games where you think the Broncos will get smashed, but they'll find a way to keep it tight. I think they'll still lose, and hoping they do. But yeah, I don't know. They're a changed side. They've been undermanned over the last couple of weeks and still holding firm. So there you go. Well done, Broncos. God, that hurts.
We're both very Brisbane-based, and how many times have you heard the terms baby Broncos thrown about around this time of the year?
Yeah.
They just, as I say, they always seem to get it done for whatever reason. But anyway. Rabbitohs Raiders. Bunnies have lost 3 to Origin in Arrow, Murray and Mitchell, but Damien Cook was not included in that. That was a bit of a shock for me. So he gets the game this weekend to go along with stalwarts Cody Walker and Campbell Graham, who was named as 18th man but deemed too injured to attend camp, but not injured enough to miss this game.
Weird. Yeah, never seen anything like that.
Absolutely pulled one over the NRL there. No, he's got a sternum injury. He can't go to Origin camp, but we will play him this week. It's fine.
Yeah, the old, what was the Queensland thing? We named someone, was it Tony Carroll? Was he 19th man, 18th man or something? That kind of stuff. I do love a good Origin woodwink. But no, I don't own any Bunnies, and they're the kind of side that has been absolutely, and that's why I'm 30,000, whatever. But no Bunnies in the side outside of Davi Mawali. How good's that? But Cody Walker, where's this been? Like the sustained excellence. Normally, Cody's that guy that chips in with 100, gets you interested, and then you bring him in, and he scores 20 for 3 weeks. But they've been on a roll. Does it stop now with outs?
That huge season a couple of years ago, was it the PVL ball season, where he was the top scoring player, I think, of the entire Supercoach season. So can do it and can do it at a sustained period, but he's gone missing over the last couple of years. Him and Latrell, I think, have been combining just spectacularly. And I think it's really helped Cody's game that Latrell has been on fire. Teams are targeting him and so wary of what he's doing out the back that Cody's been able to, you know, throw some cutout balls or the show and go and create some stuff himself. So people have sort of forgotten his ability, and he's making them pay on a week-to-week basis.
That kind of reminds me, this whole year, people fight over Latrell and Cody, depending on who you own, each week over the scoring decisions and, oh, this player should get a TC, this guy should get a try, or whatever. And so it's like that Simpsons meme where Nelson's throwing the apple and Bart's throwing the orange, and then you got Ralph throwing the banana down the bus. I'm Ralph. I own no Rabbitoh, so I do not care. But these people go on and, oh, no, I won. He should be on 120 and like, yep, whatever. Yeah, cool. I'll just stick to owning Tommy
Moore. I'll take my 35 from Scott Drinkwater.
Yeah, thank you. To be fair, I don't own that many Cowboys, thankfully. But anyway, no, I mean, the Bunnies, I don't know whether the role sort of slows a little bit. Last week, bad loss against the Eels of all teams. But with Latrell out, you've got Taff in there who can fill in. But I don't know whether then it all has to go through Cody's hands and crumbles under the pressure. What do you see over the next month or so with these Bunnies?
Cook probably takes a step up, gets himself more involved. He's, as much as he's dangerous with his running game and creation around the ruck, he seems to be deferring to his Cody Walkers and Latrells a lot more, sort of been his role over the last couple of years. So I can see him taking on a bit more responsibility through the middle. And they've still got dangerous guys on the outside, see Alex Johnsons and what. They'll still be able to create opportunities. The good thing for the Bunnies, you know, after this week, they play the Raiders on Saturday night, who we'll just get into in a second, but they got the Titans and Dragons over the next couple, followed by the bye and then your boys in round 17. So
two byes in a row, geez.
I know, that's right. You could argue three with that Dragons game. So they...
Dragons.
They've got a very good run coming up, so it's hard to see Cody dropping off too much.
Well, that's it. I think it's probably one of those ones where, and I guess we'll talk in the ins and outs later on, but if I didn't have Cody, I wouldn't be too nervous not owning him. But if you do, you're sitting pretty well. So I don't know. What? I wouldn't be rushing to bring Cody in while he's on the up. It's just happened before. And it's
one of those you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't type situations, whether you get him and they crumble or you don't get him and they continue to fire. It's either way, it's going to bite you in the ass.
It could be collateral damage if he does go a bit poorly over the next month or so to guys like Alex Johnson, even Campbell Graham. So, yeah, a lot riding on him here.
Yep. For the Raiders, only missing Hudson Young and then also, what's his name, Elliot Whitehead, who's been suspended, I believe, for a hit across the weekend. So he's been out.
Took the guilty plea because he was injured. So I think he's going to miss 3 weeks or so. Gives our boy CHN a good run.
Yeah, CHN's back into the starting side on their edge. Corey Horsburgh gone to the other edge to fill in for, I guess it's going to be Hudson Young at this stage. And then Joe Tarpanin has been given the 13 jersey. So that piqued my interest. I'm hoping he gets a few more minutes as an owner, but I don't see his role changing too much. Maybe he gets the offload going a little bit more and doesn't have to do as much of the grunt work, but... yeah, that was something that stood out to me.
I can't get a read on Tarpanin this year. It's such a weird, like he played 47 minutes, I think it was, straight last week and then gets benched for a good, like almost half hour before Sticky. It's just, what are they, I don't know. It's obviously the professional coaches know more than me, but a guy, a gun player who can play big minutes and you're parking him on the bench and they got rolled in that time. So I don't know.
You remember preseason last year, his missus came out and gave Ricky a serve and then he ended up having the career year because he got all the minutes and all the attacking stats. And this year she was quiet because he had a good year and he's gone back to being subpar. So
come on, Mrs. Tarpanin, and I fire up that Sticky.
Get him. He needs a rocket.
60 minutes or he's walking. Thank you very much. I'll DM her about that.
That's it. Slide right in them. Sunday afternoon game, Knights versus Eagles. A lot of changes in this one. We got absolutely destroyed on the weekend by the Sharks. So Lachie Miller has been dropped to the bench. He's playing in the number 14. And Kalen Ponga's gone to fullback. I don't, you know, as bad as Lachie Miller was, I think that's more about protecting Kalen Ponga from these head knocks because he had another scare on the weekend past the HIA, thankfully. But they're taking him out of that front line, having to make all those tackles because guys are just targeting him, knowing that he's protecting himself and won't go into the tackles hard. So Tyson Gamble back in the number 6. We know he was a Dally M player at the start of the year. And Adam Elliott gets the number 13 jersey for the first time this year. Hopefully he can get back into that Raiders form that he was signed for.
Yeah, I thought Leo Thompson had a couple of bad games. So I don't know whether – is he injured or is he in the extendeds or something? I didn't –
Leo Thompson's gone into the prop rotation. Okay. So Jake Safidi is onto the bench. Leo Thompson's moved into number 10 and Adam Elliott's come off the bench into the 13.
Because Elliott was one of those guys was last year that just, you know, subtly killing it when he was starting, playing big minutes. So I don't know whether if he gets that role regularly. He's only had 3 games so far this season, but could be one of those guys that possibly undervalued, although 523K, it's not, you know, low price tag by any means, but I like his super coach game.
He's got a break even of 75, so I still think he's got some cash to lose. But you're right, he came in probably overpriced considering what he's done in his career and what he did last year. But does have it in him, definitely has it in him. Off-season surgery and a game one rushing him back, then got him hurt again. So that's really hampered his season thus far. But played 2 games now off the bench, getting a little bit more minutes in the legs and obviously rewarded with a starting jersey here. So I think he can provide something, but it's definitely a wait and watch.
Keen to see how you boys go. And the Ponga thing, like a lot of people rushing to bring him in this week, but just had a look at that play the ball last round. Yeah. I mean, is that the sign of someone who...
Had to be a HIA something in there. Like he passed his HIA in the sheds and then came and did that. I would have pulled him straight away. You're not right, mate.
Well, I know you would have pulled him straight away, but
did
Billy also look at that and think, oh, Jesus, if you do that in Origin, you would never make that's Justin Hodges in the in-goal kind of stuff there. That just didn't fly.
Again, I would think that Billy's gone the, if we get him out there for 2 minutes and then he has a concussion worry, then we're without a attacking player. You can't play that way.
Tommy Dearden, mate, in the wings.
That's right.
Push Munster football. I mean, you've got the Ferrari in 18, so I don't know. I don't know. Billy's got options.
Yeah. So, there's probably a little bit of caution there, but, you know, Queensland, I was shocked to not see him named, but it's Newcastle's game as far as I'm concerned.
And Brisbane's lost as well,
because they took Reece Walsh. So it's win-win.
Gorgeous Reece Walsh. How Manly have also been...
Manly have been absolutely rocked this week. Not only losing Turbo and DCE to Origin, but the other Trbojevic brothers, Jake tore his calf. He's out up to 6 weeks. And Ben Trbojevic aggravated a hamstring injury. I know a few people were jumping on him when he got named to start, but only lasted a few minutes, and now he's going to be out for a couple more weeks. And then Carl Lawton came on and dislocated his shoulder again. So they got a high number of guys missing out this week. Speaking of week, KO Weeks is the fullback of choice. Again, I was expecting Garrick to go back there with Tuipulotu to come onto the wing as he's done earlier this season, but he's been named in the 14 and they've given KO Weeks the number one jersey. Cooper Johns replaces DCE. And then a couple of forward rotations. Sean Kepi in the 13, Samuela Fainu on an edge. But otherwise, again, similar sort of team to what they've been running out with the last couple of weeks.
It's one of those games. I think the Knights should be heavy favourites to win this one. And you're at home. So I think I can kind of see a guy like Ponga putting on some points, Marju. It should be a game you'd think the Knights will towel up in. But... who knows? I think Garrick, I was very surprised as you said not to see him at fullback. He's like the Asako move. You're just keeping, I guess, the gun player on the wing where they do best. But yeah interesting.
And I did see someone mentioned that he copped a knock at some stage during the game. I missed the game on the weekend, so I didn't see it. But apparently he copped a knock. So maybe it's an injury type thing. They need him out there. He's not hurt enough to miss the game, but don't want to put added stress on him from the fullback position. So could just be a little bit of nursing him through.
Yeah, I'd hate to think he misses goal kicking or anything like that, but yeah, I think he kicked them all last week, so hopefully retains that this time around. Alrighty, that's the Teamless Tuesday news for round 13. We'll come back and we'll go through some of the ins and outs, some of the holds and captains and vices.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just have to play it. We're not going to hear it for a little while after a post-game, I don't think. But anyway, enough about the Cows. Talking about the ins and outs. Maybe do you want to start with the outs, because it's probably the easiest one. So the guys that people are lining up to move on from their side, and I think it's that Origin kind of flavour. So guys are going to miss a lot of weeks over the next couple of months, and a couple of players that have maybe plateaued or they're injured. So I've got four names listed here. Feel free to add them in, but Harry Grant, popular trade-out option this week, had a quiet game last round, scored a 30-odd. He's 655K. So some options that you really do not lose a lot of value going to. A lot of guys on the up, but he's in Origin, stalling a little bit. So I think a lot of people making the move on him. Is he performing well enough that he looks like a guy that people will be trading back in down the line? Do you see? I mean, we know he's the premium number one hooker in the game, yeah. But is the gap between the number one and two and thereabouts that big this year?
Probably not as what we saw last year, but I think depending on who you believe is number two, I think you're going to end up with Harry Grant there anyway. Mm. You know, have a JMK or a, I don't know, Damien Cook or a Reece Robson or something of the like to see you through the period, obviously, but then run them as your hooker too, because we just know what Harry Grant can do in his day. Those other guys can go big, but their bigs are you know, 80s and 90s, the top end, where Harry Grant can really post, you know, 130, 140 if he gets things going, and especially with that Melbourne team. So you'd hate to be missing out on that. I believe he'll go out for a lot of people and come back in straight after the Origin period.
Yeah, I guess this year they don't have the luxury of Brandon Smith there to fill in at hooker. You got Bronson Garlick there. Well, yep. But yeah, no one that, yeah, you can see Craig Bellamy in the form that they're in. They're not going that great. So you'd imagine he's wanting their Origin players on deck as much as possible. So may not miss that much time outside of the regular Origin games, but a lot of people making the move on him. Ryan Madison, he's unknown at this stage how long he'll be out, but as you said, physio, normally a good guide, 3 to 6 weeks per his initial diagnosis. And no word from the club is always a bit unusual. Might spell a little bit longer than we thought. So Maddo, a safe trade out at this point. If he's missing games, as good as he's been playing, I think, yeah, this is the kind of time where you need premium guns in the second row position scoring points. So I think a safe trade out for me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You can't have a guy with that much, you know, carrying that much money sitting on your bench for, you know, potentially a month and a half, which rules out his buy round positives, I guess. You know, they're going to play on the three big buy rounds, but he's not going to be there anyway by the looks of things. So can't keep him hanging around. Trade him to a like type.
And weirdly getting benched. So, I mean, he was still scoring well and getting attacking stats, but you just never like seeing the Orange sticker next to his name. Reece Walsh, another one, a popular trade out this round. So he's in Origin. So did get the call up over your boy KP. So again, he's had a blistering start to the year. Everyone jumped on. I think a lot of people have moved away, and safe to say it's not a bad call, I think, now that he's in that Origin 1 squad.
No, absolutely. And people were only probably holding him this long thinking he would play round 13, considering he's come back to the pack a little bit, but they thought, you know, an extra number is an extra number. So we'll hold him. He can go big. But now every likelihood you've got a Tedesco or a Trbojevic or a Latrell Mitchell paired with Reece Walsh. So you're now down two fullbacks. Walsh is the man to go out of those four in my book.
Yep. No, 100% agree on that. And Cam Munster, the other one I've got down here. So talk that he's carrying a couple of injuries, niggles, into Origin camp. Could just be the old Queensland ploy, but he likely to get a rest if he is carrying any of those. So for me, he's been probably one of the better 5'8s. So had an up and down kind of season, but a lot of players have in those sort of positions. But Munster's done his job, I think, like Harry Grant, a guy that you might be looking at trading back in post-Origin, but for now, decent trade-out.
Yeah, he is. And the only caveat I'll put on that is if you already have him and Dylan Brown, you can carry Dylan Brown across that and he'll play and do a fantastic job for you. He's been absolutely on fire of late, so you're not going to miss not having Cam Munster, but you could potentially save yourself a trade there. By just running with Dylan Brown and keeping Munster on the bench to see if he gets through the Origin period unscathed. But otherwise, you know, with the flexibility we've got, you know, we've got Isaiah Katoa, Phoenix Crossland, they're both dual position players and that sort of thing. Josh Schuster can come down from second row. You can pretty much trade Munster to anybody.
No, agreed. And then I guess one other name I've just thought of, Zach Hosking. So I traded him out a couple of weeks ago. That role on the in the Penrith side with the likes of Liam Martin, who is in Origin, admittedly, but then you got Luke Garner floating around as well. I think we've probably seen the best from him. So if you haven't yet made the move, he's obviously got the buy this round. Probably a safe trade out if you're needing points this week.
Yeah, I agree. It's someone I'm looking at trading out this week as well. He's doing a job. For me, it was between him and Jacob Preston, and I think Jacob Preston's just got the wood on him at the moment. So I'm happy to hold him and get, trade out Hosking to get an extra number this week.
And I don't own him, but Val Holmes, would you be trading him out if you've already got a few other guns, centre wings in and around that are going to play through the buyer period? I see a lot of people moving Val out.
He's a really tough one, Val, because, again, he's had a few runs of 100s and 90s, but then he's come back with a couple of 40s of late, and that's more the Cowboys' form than his own. When they're not scoring points, he's not getting conversions and whatnot. But, Yeah, I just don't know with the center wings because there's no one absolutely breaking away from the pack at the moment. It was Karaz to start the year, and then he busted himself, so he's, you know, putting up low scores again. No one's really a standout candidate that you'd want or absolutely need through this period. But I think I'd hold Bal. I can see the appeal of trading him out if you can get a guy that's going to play a couple of weeks, an Alex Johnson or a, you know, Marzu or something like that. But, you know, a lot of those guys are highly owned anyway, so it could be worthwhile just holding.
I reckon trade out this week, almost 100%. So he's got missing the game this round because of Origin. He misses round 15 because of the bye. He'll miss 16, and that's for Origin. In between that, we play Storm in round 14. We play the Bunnies in 17. Storm at home, Bunnies away. And the old Tigers, the revenge game up in Townsville, but then misses round 19 for Origin. Could miss round 20 backing up pretty early on as well. So a chance he only plays two or so games over the next run up all the way until round 20 or so. Like it's a long time to have him out, two or three games. So I don't know. I think you can safely move him on and find a center wing. And there are a lot of potential value plays. We'll get into him in a moment. But I reckon
him straight to Campbell Graham.
Well, the only risk with
available all year now.
I guess the only risk with some of these guys, and maybe it's worth talking about some people we wouldn't be trading in, but a guy like Campbell Graham, I would be sticking well away from, and Kalen Ponga on the basis that they could play Origin next game. It's as simple as that. They're on the periphery, and with injuries and all the stuff that goes on, it's a big risk to bring in an Origin player, particularly Campbell Graham, given you brought him up, given he's a sort of clouded injury sort of guy.
Yeah, so I think that's smoke and mirrors by the Bunnies so they can get him for this week. But they have said they've been nursing him through the weeks to get him there for the weekend. So maybe there is some fire to it. But as far as his Origin chances, I really believe he deserves to be there. He's had a ridiculous year, just absolutely ridiculous. He's been one of the best guys, and if not the best guy in the competition. But in saying that, I don't see them moving Turbo or Latrell out of those center positions anytime soon. So where Graham comes in, if he will he play on a wing, as you said, it could be Fox that goes down. He's had some ankle troubles of late. But then you've got guys like Dan Tupou coming back who have done that as well. So I just don't know with Graham. It's really a 50-50 call. Back your gut on it, I suppose. But for me, I don't see him playing Origin this year.
I mean, Turbo's on one leg. Like if they have a poor game and he's at the forefront of that, he could be the first one to go. So I agree. You got to take a punt sometimes. If you've got trades up the sleeve, I think it's an easy one to make. But if you're short, maybe play the risky or less risky kind of game. Any outs, any trade outs that I haven't included there?
I don't think so. There's a couple question marks over the halves, but we'll talk about those guys a little bit later. I'm noting Isaiah Katoa in the most traded out list, and that's probably based on his score last week, but I don't get it. He's an extra number this week. Why not hold him for one more week and trade him out next week? I suppose a big one would be Brennan Smith. Still highly owned, but he's going to miss the next couple of weeks through injury. So if you've got him, he's not going to provide any cover over the next couple of weeks anyway. Best to flick him on. Not that he's doing anything regardless.
No, exactly. He's been terrible. So I think a lot of those will be dead teams. I'm surprised I'm not one, but he's taken up the spot. You just can't afford. So, yeah, agree. Moving on.
Yep.
All right. Any last
one? Just one last one, and it's probably not a trade out with urgency, but Tyrone Peachy, who's done a job for the Panthers, but am I right in remembering that Isaac Tungo is probably due back just after the bye?
Yeah, he wasn't that far off. I remember we talked about Peachy being a good chance of a good run of a month or so. I might just have a quick dig around for a Tungo update, but that would definitely push Peach to the bench and basically out of the side So I think for 14, for me as a whole, because we've talked about how crucial next week is, and like it, hopefully he suits up and you hold him on that basis.
There's every chance that Tungo comes back and Peachy's just a nothing next week. So if we get some more clarity on that Tungo, we'll find it. We'll find it in the next couple of minutes. But yeah, it could be that it's worthwhile just moving him a week early and getting an extra player this week, potentially next week as well.
Yeah, fair call. If that's where you want to go, got a couple of holds. So Nico Hines and Nathan Cleary, I think both are fairly. We've talked about Grant and Munster being sort of trade outs, but it's a bit different for the Hines and Cleary types because they're so far ahead of the rest of the pack in their position. So Hines, we know how good he is. He's only playing off the bench, so shouldn't really be one of those guys that they consider resting. Backs up at home after Origin in round 14 and 20 as well, so there's no travel risk and that kind of thing. Could be a guy you look out for a trade out if you've got the trades up your sleeve over 16, round 16 and 19, because he'll miss most of those. But for now, I think save the trade. He's a run home must have. So I wouldn't be playing guys like, you know, Jerome Hughes or someone like that just for a few weeks, just for points or whatever. I'd be saving the trade. And same with Cleary. He's bounced back in a big way and might be more of a resting risk. But sometimes if you're carrying both of them, you just might as well, I think, yeah, in that position.
I'm in the same boat, and that's what I'm going to be doing. They're both at the higher end of 800K plus and going to be hard to get back in. If you do trade them out, you've got guys, a couple of people jumped on Moses the other week after his massive score against the Knights, only for him to fall victim to a concussion. But then he came back massive last week. So he's probably the only one that realistically you would look at halfback. And even then, you're going to have to trade him back out to one of these guys for the run home too. So again, depends how your trades are traveling for yourself, who's into the teens already, it's probably not worthwhile making that move. But if you got a couple up your sleeve, maybe you can get a bit of an edge on people by running Moses over the next couple of weeks.
I guess you're right in that it gives you a lot of cash to splash out on the rest of your side. But I think there's enough of those 500-600K guys that we've spoken about that might be at their peak that you can move on for a decent, decent bit of value. But yeah, if you're desperate for cash and want to upgrade some of those middies, then yeah, that would be a play. But I think take it safe and save the trades. Any other holds? I think some non-origin guns. So the guys like, you know, Teague Wilton and stuff in the Sharks that are missing this week but won't be in origin and should play a stack of games over the coming months or so. I'd be holding on to them, Jacob Preston, those sort of guys. I think are worth their weight in gold in some of these tougher weeks, especially next week.
Definitely. Those sort of guys that are hovering around and they won't be playing Origin, so when their team is playing, they'll be there. And even an Origin guy like Dave Fifita, the year he's having, he's holding a lot of cash. It's 950K. Again, you can trade him down and get a player. You get almost 300K going from him to Jermaine Hopgood, for instance, and get some really solid scores over the next month, and then hopefully Fifita drops in price some, but potentially he doesn't. He comes out and he keeps posting 80s and 90s. He's only going to drop probably to, you know, high 800s. And how are you going to get him back?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. It's a headache you could possibly do without. Anyone else that you're looking at in the trade out list for people that you'd be just holding fire on?
No, not really. Everyone else pretty much makes sense in my book.
Alrighty, I'm just having a quick look, and Penrith have released an injury update last week on Isaac Tungo, but it's a friggin' video. I'm not watching that. So assume he might be back for round 14. That's the NRL.
Yeah, the NRL injury list has him listed as a round 14 return, so good chance he's back after the bye, providing he's had no setbacks.
All right, now let's get into the fun part of the pod, and that's the ins for this week, the targets. So it's always fun playing this in the bye week, although, as we said, it's not as critical to fill your 17 this round because there's only 13 playing and scoring for you, so a little bit easier. So there's some guys we've got on the list here. You might already have them, but top of the list here, I reckon, Josh Schuster. Huge week last week on return, shed a few kilos and looked really good. Negative 26 break even, 332K. If he's not in your side, I'd be bringing him in pretty much straight away. I think it's a good week for him this week.
Yeah, it's a hard one with Schuster because we know he can get those teens and 20s, which he was putting up beforehand. But as you said, he looked fit and ready to go on the weekend. Won't be combining with Turbo as much, obviously, and DCE. So he might have the ball in his hands a little bit more. Could be good for his scoring. Could be bad because he panics or whatnot. But, yeah, at 330, it's with a negative break even of a break even of negative 26, it's a punt you can take.
Hmm. And I was having a look. I had a quick skim down the sub 400K list who are playing this round. There are not a lot of good options. So I get that Schuster's not going to play next week, and hopefully you've got enough coverage to go without him. But have a look down the list. At sub 400K, you're looking at the likes of Benny Hampton and these kind of guys. Like, it's not a good round to be targeting cheapies, unfortunately. Like, Tavares, if he was playing in the starting wing spot or whatever, or center, he'd be really good. But Schuster's probably the best of a pretty ordinary bunch, I would say.
Well, Katoni Staggs has just slipped under 400K, so you can got his option knowing he can go massive on any given day, but he has been awful this year. But you're right, everyone under that that sort of price bracket is really sketchy, to say the least. You got Corey Harawira-Nara, who get a little bit of a run there. And I know people are getting excited about these cheapies, the Tristan Saylors and that, but they're not even in the game yet, and there's a reason for that. They're not going to end up playing any more than one game or two games and just become a nightmare on your bench.
So I had two players listed. If you were absolutely desperate for cash, and I wouldn't bring these people in just for a warm body, I'd almost rather take 12 rather than bringing them in, but Ogden and Wiramu Greg. So Ogden's 216K break-even of negative 18. He's off the bench, though. And Greg, 335K break-even of 7. He is starting. I think with the addition of Joe O to that Parramatta side, it really diminishes their value for me. And for the sake of what could be 20 or 30 points, if you don't need to bring in these guys to generate cash to upgrade others, I would just wouldn't bother, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree. If they're not already in your team, Wiramu Greg's probably the one we're looking at. He was a popular option a couple of weeks ago. If you don't already have him, now's not the time to get him. He's made 100K on his starting price and probably looking at one of his last games as a starter. And it won't be long before Paolo, RCG, and Joe O are all there taking up those middle minutes. And Wiramu Greg's probably back, 15, 20 minute bench role or reserves.
Yep. Agreed. So it's a very short-sighted kind of play. But one, if you, as we've said, if you need value, whatever. Couple of guys then. This is where it starts to get interesting because there's not a lot of, out and out guns. There's a lot of risky players. And I think top of that list, Kalen Ponga, break even negative 7. Fortunately made it back on the park last week. We've spoken about it, missed Origin. 511K. What's your read? Are you a pro Pong or con Pong kind of guy this round?
I'm a pro Ponger this round. Yeah, obviously, my love for him. But I've got Latrell and Turbo, so I had to make a move to get a number there. Ponger, in my eyes, is probably the best of a bad bunch. In that I can play him at fullback for this round or the next round. Not next round, they're on the bye, but for this week, flip him up for a Katoa into 5'8", and then replace with a better fullback then. So I've got him as a short-term play, knowing he's far better at fullback than he has been at 5'8", and he's been looking okay at 5'8", so I'm hoping he can get things going from the back for us there and really create things. And with Lockie Miller out of the side, there's a chance Ponga gets the kicking tee back, which could help, add a couple of points to his already decent scoring. So, yeah, I'm pro this week, but not with any huge confidence.
I guess it's hard to base your decisions around the possibility the players get HIAs, but Pong is probably, if you were going to bet on any given week one player going off for an HIA, it's him, unfortunately. But sometimes you've got to take a punt.
I got my heart in my throat every time he takes a ball to the line. It's either he's going through it or he's going off in a Medicab, but he's the type of player that can go massive. You don't get anywhere by playing this game safe, I suppose. But yeah, you can avoid him. Hopefully you save yourself a trade if he does get hurt. But for me, the risk is worth the reward is worth the risk.
Yeah. I mean, you've got guys like Best, Gagai, Maju on the wing there, Dom Young. Like, these are quality players outside, so the chances of him getting attacking stats increase the better your players are around you. So yeah. I think, and he plays either side of the ruck. He doesn't stick to one side necessarily. So good chance this week at a really big score. So I'm kind of with you here. I'll be foregoing him given my lack of trades. But if I was to use the next one, it would be getting this guy into the side. And hopefully not breaking him. I think 511K for a guy of his caliber. I guess the only issue is if Walsh has a poor game, he's probably next in line. So I'm not sure.
That's even a risk. If he can get through the next couple of weeks, there's a chance he gets called up anyway. Mm-hmm. As I said, it's probably possibly just Billy being safe and cautious, but he's always a chance of getting called up for the next Origin game.
Yep.
But again, hopefully by then he's made some dollars and you can get someone else in.
Next on the list, and it comes with his own sort of risk, although it's in his knees, that's Torhu Harris. So he's bounced back on return from injury, scored a couple of reasonable scores, I think in the 70s and 80s over the last couple of rounds, had the bye last week. We'll play a fair stack of games coming up. As we've said, the Warriors have a great run. So Torhu is a pretty safe play, again, not without his risk, but at a 600K price tag, the kind of guy that'll bang out, you know, 70 plus for you, which will be invaluable for these next few months. So a safe play in one I'm making this round. Any disagreement?
No, none at all. I've had Torhu from the start and there's no way I'm moving him on from my side now, especially with the buy coverage and how good has he been? He's only had a couple of low scores when he was injured or coming back or taken off early. So he's been absolutely outstanding for the Warriors this year. And their success is led by him, in my opinion. You know, SJ gets all the plaudits, and so he should, but it's really Torhu and AFB up the middle doing the work. So he'll be in for a couple of massive games coming up, I see.
And in such a busy role, to be able to bang out 80-minute games. So he's thankfully done that the last two rounds that he's played. So signs are looking good, and I think Torhu, he's reasonably popular. Well, actually, fallen to 12%. So a lot of people like me may have moved him on when he was suffering that injury. But yeah, back on deck now, looks healthy. Warriors have a great run, so fingers crossed he can stay on the park. But a pretty safe bet. Another what I think is a safe bet is a couple of Dolphins players. So for mine, Jeremy Marshall King, by far I reckon the second best hooker in Supercoach land so far this season. He is ultra consistent. His first game last round without an attacking stat in quite a while, and he still scored around a 53, 55, I think it was, which if you stack him up against the likes of Cook and Robson, is basically what they're getting most weeks.
Yep.
So JMK loves a run, heavily involved in what the Dolphins do in attack. He's the guy I'm bringing in over Damien Cook this week. A lot of people go on Cookie, the price tag's good. Cook's an Origin risk. JMK's got points on the board so far this season, and I'm backing him in. So it's one of those pod kind of plays, I guess. Everyone go on Cook. I'm going to go JMK. As you said, rock bottom can only go up.
It's one of my big regrets of Supercoach this year. I've been all over JMK. I'm a big fan. I think he's going to be challenging Grant for that number one hooker title this year, the way he's playing. As I said, the only game he's gone under 50 is when he got sin binned in round two. So he had a 33 in that one. But yeah, he's been ridiculous. The last 2 years when he was at the Dogs last year and the Dolphins this year, he's been fantastic. Unfortunately, I overthought things and I went Reese Robson last week so I could get him for round 13 and 16 and then move him to Jeremy Marshall King following that. If I had my time again, I'd be grabbing JMK because he's been awesome.
7 out of the next 8 games as well. So I think the Cook into Origin thing, I think if Appy has one bad game, they'll go straight back to the well and what they know best. And so Cook's a great big chance of playing either Origin 2 or 3. So for me, I'm keen to jump on the JMK train, hopefully not break him. So he's straight into the side this week. Another one that I was keen on going, but again, he's like a Fifita for me. He's always so consistent and going well that I just can never find a good week to bring him in. Jermaine Asako. thorn in the side, just killing it every single week. We spoke about him off air, even in a pretty down game for the Finns last round. He still scores 90, kicking goals, doesn't go low at all. If you need a premium centre wing, he's probably the best of the bunch this week.
I just, as I said to you earlier, I keep waiting for him to fall off a cliff, but he's not doing that at all. But 680K is probably the only thing holding me back from grabbing him. He's just ridiculously priced for who he is and what we know he has been in the past, but he's just not doing that this year. There's always one Cinderella story in the center wings, and this year it looks like it's a Sarko. So I'm not going to talk anybody out of getting him. The Dolphins favor that right-hand side. They go there often, as we saw with VTW at Magic Round. It kept going out that way over and over again, and they continue to have success. So looks like Sarko is going to keep putting up big scores, and if not, having a very solid base.
No, absolutely. I just had a quick flick of the price tags for center wings that are playing this round. Surprisingly, he's in fourth. Matty Tomoko. Shout out to Benny G, because he traded him in a while ago just as some sort of pod option. He's 712K. I mean, in fairness, he's had a bit of a down week last round, but he's got 120 there. He's been going gangbusters as the Raiders have turned it around. Very much a pod at 3,000 team ownership. But Tomoko, if you were going to blow some cash, have you looked at all at this guy? I haven't.
I did a couple of weeks ago. He was having an absolutely stellar run. Unfortunately, fell off a cliff last week when they got towed up by Manly. But the 4 weeks before that, 75, 79, 119, and you'll love this, 69. So absolutely putting some big scores on. And it's the same as what I was just talking about with Asako. They keep going out to his side and he keeps converting. Plays just inside Rapana, I believe. And so Tomoko keeps getting it done. He's having a stellar season.
Yep. No, absolutely. And I'll round out my sort of targets this round with, I love in the bye weeks going random centre wing who's been dreadful, just in on the proviso that they've got to turn it around, and surely they do it during a depleted Origin period. DWZ, Watene Zalesniak, and Ravalawa. These kind of guys, I think it was Fusatua 5 or so years ago, shouted him out on my first ever pod, and he goes and scores 120 or something and proceeds to do nothing after that. But DWZ, if I'm going to bank on someone going big this week, it's him. And Ravalawa could do the same against the Finns. He's got Zach Lomax inside him now. And Lomax himself, actually, a fair option now that Hook's gone. But those kind of guys, the mid-range center wings, you're kind of playing on matchups and hoping they do pretty well. But if I was to throw a dart and I needed a cheaper sort of center wing than an Asako, those would be the kind of options I'd be making.
Yeah, I can't get around that one. You can add that one to yourself.
DWZ's sort of been in and out of the Warriors side so far this year, but I just like their run. And I was having a look at Montoya, Corsi, there's another guy there that I'm forgetting, but I don't know. It's just one of those backline members that could go on a run, and yeah, you'll look like an absolute genius or a complete idiot. If you decide to go in, but if you're 30,000 like me, you already look pretty stupid. But anyway, those are the
that's the thing. If you're going to stump up that sort of money, he's at almost 500k. For an extra 30k, you can get CNK. So I'd be trying to pinch some pennies and go that way personally.
Yep. And Ravalawa, he's just one of those guys I see every year, goes on a bit of a tear, scores some tries, then goes on an absolute drought. But I don't know, Dragons might be on a resurge after last round. But anyhow, that's enough from my side. Anyone that you have got on your radar?
A couple of guys. As I mentioned, I'm looking at Jermaine Hopgood. Obviously, was a huge trade-out candidate earlier in the year, but someone I'm looking at bringing back in now for his buy coverage and the fact that there are no forwards left at Parramatta. So those are the main guys. I'm trying not to overstock my team with the people who are going to miss next week. But, other than that, I don't think there's too many people to get excited about this week, considering it's a very patchwork sides, really. You're going to be trading in to trade out. The one guy who probably is a almost must-have but has a ridiculous price tag is Dylan Brown. He's at 823K, putting up super numbers. But, you're paying an absolute premium for him, but he's a guy that you will lock him into your side and not worry about what his price is doing after that.
Yeah, I think so. I think Brown is almost a must-have this round, particularly against the old cows. So I'd be, if you're finding value for anyone, it would be him this week. But I think to round it all out, I mean, it's one of those rounds where if you're going to take a bit of a down kind of week in any of these buys, it could be this one because, you know, there's not a lot of genuine out-and-out superstars that are playing that you need to jump on, I think, as we've attested to, and not a lot of good cheap guys. So if you're bringing players in for the sake of filling a 13, I don't know, I'd be holding fire and just saving those trades when you might really need them. But I think fair to say there's a fair few options. So it's a really interesting week. I'm keen to see what scores end up with. Before we jump into Captain's Vices, like, you haven't gone through JT's joke corner in a little while, but I've got an absolute bell ringer.
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming, so you'd like to think I'm coming off the back fence with something really good here. But I trialed it at Magic Round, got some pretty good reviews. What's Whitney Houston's favorite mode of coordination?
I give in.
Henda.
Just to note on the proviso that you did get some laughs at Magic Round. Everybody there was very drunk.
Oh, boy. I think that was a Saturday. It might have been 6 or 7. But the crowd went mild. Anyway, it's been a long time coming. Feel free to write in your own ones. But, yeah, no, good to be back. Anyway, Captain's Advices. Two bites of the cherry for this one if you don't have more than, say, 14 players. And hopefully you got no AE nightmares because, it is a really good chance to go get a double dip here. Vice captains for me this round are para players. Captains are bunnies players. I don't have any, so I'm going to look at a guy like Greg Marju as my captain to close out the week. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with probably Dylan Brown as a vice captain and then throw him into a Garrick or a Ponga on the last game of the round to bring me home.
Don't mind that. I mean, if I owned Jermaine Asako, I'd be definitely VCing him against the Dragons just because it's one of those things, as we've said, two goes at it, so why not throw it on a centre wing who goal kicks and has been scoring ridiculously. Torhu, a very safe one, but you're not here to play safe, I don't think, in these bye rounds. So for me, looking forward to seeing what Marju does. Hopefully weather's good in Nui and they can put a score on, but it's one of those things, whenever you've got it on a winger, you watch them for the first 10 minutes, they don't get any points and you start to sweat and carry on. But anyway, it's one of those buy round fun bits. So, looking forward to seeing what Carnage will throw up. Quick tip for Origin. Who do you reckon, Queensland or New South Wales?
I think it's going to be a real tough one this first game, but I'm going to back my heart and go with Queensland based on the fact that the pack's been there, done that.
Hugely unsurprising. And I think both teams are under a bit of pressure with some of the selections. So keen to see in a neutral ground as well in Adelaide. So, it could be a firecracker to start. I'm keen to see what TPJ does. I mean, he's just an absolute hothead. He is going to punch someone. I think that's a dollar
and one. He's going to be so fired up for the occasion. He's going to come on, break someone's face in the opening tackle and be sent off.
Yep. I mean, if Kafusi's not there, you need a hothead to step in. So I don't know who is it, but Horsburgh would have been great. Imagine Horse and Pangai Jr. Stepping off against each other. I mean, that could have been absolute. That would have been, it was a Carl Webb and
Absolutely forget the football field, put a boxing ring right in the middle there, get the boys at it.
Bring back the absolute biff. Lakey, it's been great to chat to you. We've had a bit of a break with some work and other stuff, but we're back on deck. It's an interesting time of Supercoach. We're always love chatting to you on these Tuesday nights. Any final words of wisdom, a Lakey's joke corner?
No, just go the Heat.
Basketball?
Yeah, that's that.
Okay, all right. See ya. Legitimately thought you were saying Brisbane Heat.
Hey.
I thought you were going Brisbane Heat there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm jumping on the BBL plane real early.
Huge big match.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.